the music of Dr. Deborah Stroman, who joins us each week for Stroman on Sports. She's a former coach, former player. She's a UNC faculty member, a University of Virginia professor, sports businesswoman extraordinaire. And this week, our boots on the ground at the ACC Women's Basketball Tournament in Greensboro. Deb, happy Friday. Welcome back into Stroman on Sports. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm fired up. It's always a good time of the year, March Madness, and it starts with the ACC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament. And being a product of this and being as a player and a coach, I'm always excited to see the young talent and great coaching that we have in our league.
At the moment, you are squirreled away in the Greensboro Coliseum, finding a quiet place in the middle of game action. But you've been there for a couple of days at this point. It seems like it's been off to a great start. But what's your experience been like? And I'm hoping that you can describe the atmosphere for our listeners out there who haven't had a chance to make it to Greensboro. How fun is it to be over at the ACC tournament with so many good teams in action in the women's sport?
Well, it is a great time. It's a great way to get away. And I say young and old. The first 2 days of the tournament, they always invite the young people in from the elementary, middle schools, and it is just this loud screeching thousands of young people. it wears on your ears, but it's just really, really fun. Greensboro is known as Tournament Town, and they do it really well. I'm kind of bummed that the men will not be regulars in Greensboro. They are coming back eventually, but this is really for women's basketball now. ACC has decided to make Greensboro a big part of future tournaments, that women will go to Charlotte. But for now, they are definitely Greensboro as the home. But also, I would just say the commitment. It's a family-type atmosphere, even though the league has expanded now to, 15 teams and will be 18 next year. You still have that family atmosphere here in Greensboro. So the crowds have been good. I think people are missing the UNC crowd that would be here with Carolina's loss, but you still see the sprinkle of UNC fans in the stands.
Well, let's get into those Tar Heels. They fell in their first round matchup as the 8 seed to number 9 Miami yesterday, 60-59. That scoreline doesn't really tell you the whole game. Carolina had a 14-point lead in the second quarter, Deb, and then had plenty of opportunities at the end to just get a shot off and either turned it over or then at the very, very end did miss the potential game-winning shot. Deja Kelly, 15 points. Alyssa Utsby, 15 points. They now have to wait until the NCAA tournament to get into what is potentially their final games in Carolina uniforms. And it just, as you said, Deb, feels like a really disappointing result. And this Tar Heel women's basketball team is extremely injured. Their depth is pretty much zero at this point because of all of the injuries that they've had. But I think a lot of fans are frustrated just because Courtney Banghart has not had good ACC tournament experiences. And yesterday was just another example of this team falling short in moments where it's not even that they don't show up to play. It's that they are playing and then let the lead slip away. What's your take on what you've been seeing from the Tar Heels?
Well, there's no doubt that Tar Heel fans are starting to wonder about the team's ability to be in the top four, the top six of the league, and to do some damage in the ACC tournament or the NCAA tournament. And yesterday, it was a tough one. I think one of the major things that happened with UNC, and it's not anything that was surprising, is our consistency in terms of shooting. And when it came down to the last minute or two when we needed some key shots, and then, of course, that last shot, as you mentioned, everybody knew the ball was going to Deja Kelly. And, in fact, the defense prepared for such. And listening to the presser yesterday by the Katie Meyer, head coach of Miami, she said their number one goal was to make sure that Deja Kelly did not make the game-winning basket. And so what are we going to do with that? How are we going to spread the ball around? How are we going to make sure that other people are ready to take the key shot? I just think it's about distribution on the offensive end. We can't use injuries anymore. We can't say that, you know, people aren't experienced and look who we lost. Other teams have that same challenge. So this is a time where UNC needs to really reflect over this week, the practice week, and figure out what is the next, because it only gets tougher these teams and coaches that make the NCAA playoffs are really, really going to focus in and try to stop all the things that Carolina does well.
Yeah, 10 points in the third quarter, 12 points in the fourth quarter, and that's where Miami truly made their comeback. And it's just simply not going to cut it when you're trying to be some of the premier programs in the conference and in the country. And Deb, I think to your point, injuries aside, and injuries, they've been injured for so long at this point in this season that you can't really fall back on that quite as much. I'm curious, being a former coach and a former player, when you see a situation like this, it's certainly a mix of both, but do you point toward the coaching or do you point toward the player execution? As you said, that inconsistency for shooting as, you know, what's really causing problems with this team? Or is it just one of those things where you just kind of say, you know, it's a bummer, but there's no easy way to tie down what's necessarily going wrong in these losses?
Well, there's a number of ways to look at it. There are some people who will say, if you take a team that is struggling and then you give them that Hall of Fame coach, they'll be a lot better. Or if we switch coaches, like you take my coach and I take yours, I bet will win with your team. So coaching plays a lot. I will also reference that players win championships. There's no doubt. But the really, really great coaches, they can win even though the team might be struggling. As in, when players aren't shooting well, people aren't feeling well, they're not at their best, coaches are able to be like chess masters. And they're able to do those things that put their players in a better position to win, a better way to show up and come out of that funk. Or if you're, you know, got a nagging injury, coaches do things to take you to that next level. Coach Jeff Waltz, head coach of Louisville, he expressed that in his press conference, talking about, I can't play the game for them. I can't throw the inbounds pass. I can't have the great rebound. I can't make the free throw. So it has to be both. It's coaches and players. But there's no doubt, bottom line, players have to win championships.
We're speaking with Dr. Deborah Stroman here on 97.9 The Hill, and she's coming to us live from the Greensboro Coliseum. A lot of those same conversations about players versus coaches, of course, I felt like defined the UNC men's basketball season last year with Hubert Davis, and the team in a completely different place at this point of this season, because it seems like both the coaching strategies and the players are executing at a high level. But boy, they've got a tall task this weekend. It is the round two matchup with Duke in Cameron Indoor Stadium for senior night. Duke playing some of the best basketball in the country right now, and Carolina riding a 5-game winning streak. So it's one of those classic something has to give games, Deb. I'm curious to some of the trends or what you're excited about regarding tomorrow night's game. Obviously, you'll still be in Greensboro watching plenty of women's hoops too, but I'm curious, what are some of the themes or some of the most interesting storylines that you're following with this UNC Duke round two?
Well, it's one of the best times of the year if you live in this area or if you're connected to either school. But I'm excited. You know, it's the type of game where it won't really hurt Carolina if they lose. So that's why I love it when they go to Cameron and they win, because what they're saying is this is a big game for you and you have to win this game. You need to win this game. But when Carolina goes in and says, you know what, we're going to shut you down, we're going to play well, and we're going to get through the Cameron crazies, that's what makes it really exciting. So I'm not saying that Carolina is an underdog, but if they don't win, it's not that bad, except for the rivalry, of course, but it's not that bad in terms of win losses going into the playoffs. So I expect Carolina to go in and win. I absolutely do. I don't believe they have anybody that can shut down RJ. I believe Harrison Ingram loves playing in these games where he can talk smack and be somewhat of a bully. I love the fact that Baycott generally plays well over there. And of course, Hubert wants to show John that he owns the triangle. So I'm excited about it. I think the fan base will be fired up about it, but I do believe Carolina is going to go into that game with all the confidence in the world.
There is absolutely something to be said. And we saw this, of course, in 2022 when UNC went in, they were having a down year, and just all of the pressure suddenly flipped onto Duke because Carolina had a great start and everybody in the building knew, oh, are we going to ruin Mike Krzyzewski's final home game? And Carolina was able to just blitz and stay on top that whole time. It's that playing with house money feeling. And, you know, there's certainly more at stake with the number one seed in the ACC tournament on the table, but clinching already a share of the regular season title, as you're saying, Deb, that does certainly lift some weight from Carolina's shoulders. But I'm really curious to see whether this team can embrace the role of kind of being the villain here. Of course, this would be the game to do it, but you know, they've played well on the road, they've done well in hostile environments, but there's nothing quite like this that they've faced so far this year.
Well, no doubt, and that's why you come to a Carolina or to a Duke, because you embrace this and you want to be a part of it. You know, Cormac Ryan, he did that. He did a great job in Charlottesville, being that person. When the ball rotates to you, you've got to knock it down. Don't be surprised if Cormac gives us another solid game offensively tomorrow. But I'm really looking forward to watching Harrison Ingram and RJ play their best tomorrow in Cameron.
And Armando Bacot, too. Can't forget about him and the battle that we will likely see between him and Filipowski down low. I'm happy you mentioned Cormac Ryan. There are so many people that I've talked with who, through this season, they say, you know, Cormac, thank goodness he's in Carolina blue and not in Duke blue, because there's, you know, I think it's just the way he plays. There's some sort of tendencies that lend a lot of Tar Heel fans to look at him and say, oof, we see some shades, some darker blue shades that run through him. But I wouldn't be surprised if he steps in Cameron Indoor tomorrow and something inside him awakens, he's like a sleeper cell or something, Deb, where he's going to come out and who knows, hopefully he plays very well and establishes himself as a key piece in the rivalry as other players have in the past.
There's one more too, the chancellor of UNC, who is a Duke Blue Devil.
Yes.
And he is a Tar Heel now. So let's see if he does poker face or we don't hear anything from him.
Yeah. I will be very, very curious. Obviously, the first one was easy because it was at home. Carolina won. What happens in the rematch? Well, to close this out, Deb, any other closing thoughts on the women's basketball tournament? I know we still have plenty of games ahead, including today, but what else are you excited to see from the ACC women's basketball tournament in Greensboro?
Well, if you're in the state of North Carolina, you're not too far away from Greensboro. So we've got NC State, we've got Duke still alive. Come out and support them. The fan base is great here. People love basketball, men's and women's. The atmosphere is here, and the games are only going to be tighter and tighter because of the level of competition now. So support women's basketball.
Of course, support women's basketball here on International Women's Day, but of course, every single day on the calendar, too. It is such an exciting time of the year, March Madness and tournament season. Dr. Deborah Stroman, thank you as always for your perspective, and we'll let you go. Continue to enjoy some hoops.
Thank you. Go Heels.